And we want to welcome to the show Bob Huggins. Coach, welcome to Unabated Sports.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, I got to ask you, how do you look in purple? Since you're switching over from red and black to purple for K-State.
As long as it's baggy, not too bad.
Okay. All right. That's pretty good. What do you think about the fact that you've gone from UC? Do you think this is going to be a better Bob Huggins since you had the year off, or do you think it would have been better for you to go straight from last summer UC to K-State?
What was wrong with the old?
Nothing's wrong with the old one. I have no problem with the old one. The old one brought a lot of wins to my school.
I don't know. You get a year to kind of sit back and relax and maybe recharge your batteries a little bit and get to watch some other people do some things. So hopefully I'm better. I hope I'm better every year.
Now, Bob, you've got a little bit of a rebuilding job to do there. I got to ask you, what's the toughest part of working with that program and trying to work it back to the top 25?
Oh, I think perception. Perception that we're not in a metropolitan area, maybe. But, you know, it's a great college town. It really is. It's a fun place to be, and I think as a college student you can have a great time there, and I've had a good time there. I think, you know, everybody that has come out to visit us has had a great time here, so I think we can get it done.
Now, I wanted to ask you about media perception for a moment. I know that sometimes that you guys got a pretty bad rap at UC, but how different was the media perception of the program from the way things actually were?
Well, it was totally different. I had wonderful guys. I think if you go back in virtually any program and go back 17 years, guys are going to make some mistakes. But, you know, I had wonderful guys. I couldn't be more proud of the guys I had there.
Speaking of guys you had here, you've got a couple that you coached heading into the NBA this year. Hopefully, James White and Eric Hicks. What do you think their chances are of getting picked up and playing at the NBA level next year?
Well, from everything I hear and read and the little bit I've talked to James, he's had great workouts, and I think he's got a legitimate chance of maybe making a team. And I think Eric's had some good workouts. And, you know, Eric's not going to shine in workouts. I think Eric's going to shine whenever you throw the ball up and start playing. So I'm sure that both those guys are going to get on a summer league team and play well in the summer.
Now, you've had a very strong relationship with many of your past players. What do you think it is about you that breeds such a loyalty out of your players?
I think it's a two-way street. I think, you know, I've tried to be loyal to them. I've tried to remain a friend to them after their playing days were over with. I think they appreciate the fact that we work hard, that we come to work every day.
Kind of along the same lines, except for instead of players, you still have a very strong following here in the Cincinnati area. What do you think it is about the people in this town that have kind of just absolutely been thrilled with what you've done and have kind of, a sense of loyalty that these people here have for you?
Well, it's a great town. It's an absolutely wonderful town with great people and a town with a strong work ethic. And I think they appreciate the fact that, you know, we gave a couple kids a chance and they made it. And I think they appreciated, again, the fact that, you know, our kids went out on the floor and played hard every day.
Now, Bob, I got to ask you, outside of the great people here in this city, what's the thing you're going to miss most about the city of Cincinnati?
I miss Montgomery Inn for sure.
Good call. Any other places around town, any other institutions, museums that are going to be particularly missed?
Well, you know, you miss them all. I get a craving for some chili there once in a while. But, you know, Montgomery Inn, I could eat at Montgomery Inn every night.
Have there been any establishments there that have kind of replaced any of your favorite restaurants here?
No, you know, we've been kind of sampling everything. You know, our families aren't out here yet, so it's just been a coaching staff. So we go out to eat, you know, virtually every night and kind of try a new spot every night. going to take us a while to get to every spot, but we're going to sample them all and then make our decision what we like the best.
Bob Huggins joining us on Unabated Sports on Cincinnati's ESPN Radio 1450. The Ticket, you mentioned your coaching staff. Other than finding good restaurants, what has been the challenge for you guys as you try to bring prominence to the K-State program?
Well, we got a late start in recruiting. So we had to rely on some friends and some contacts that we had. And I don't think it's any coincidence we signed three guys from the state of Florida, and Frank Martin's done an absolutely fabulous job. You know, when you can start as late as we did and sign 7'3", 6'10", and then maybe the best available junior college guard in the country, you've done a pretty good job.
Now, there is going to be a lot of talent, especially in the Big 12. I got to ask you, if there was one player you could take from any other team in the country, who would it be?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. I don't think there's anybody that jumps out at me.
All right, fair enough. We got some more questions for Bob Huggins here on Unabated Sports. What is how similar or how different is Kansas State right now compared to University of Cincinnati when you stepped in about 15 years ago?
Well, I think the similarities are that both programs haven't won in a while, and maybe the fan interest is down a little bit more than normal, and they're both great programs. They're both great programs with great history, great tradition, and you have to go in and try to restore that history and that tradition and try to recreate a fan base.
Now, you had some tough teams at UC, but if you could take one thing from your UC teams and bring it with you to your Kansas State teams, what would it be?
The players. I had great players. I had great players that I really enjoyed being around. I had a wonderful time being around them, and we had a wonderful time working together.
You also, I'm assuming, enjoyed working with some coaches. You had Andy Kennedy directly following your footsteps. Now Mick Cronin is going to be the head basketball at University of Cincinnati. Have you talked to him yet since he's taken over?
Yeah, I saw him at the King James Classic up in Akron.
Okay, and did you give him any advice or encouragement?
I don't have any advice. I mean, who wants to listen to an old guy like me?
I'm sure that Mick has the utmost respect and wants to hear some things from you, and I'm assuming Andy did as well when he had to step in and fill your shoes.
Well, you know, it's kind of exciting to see, you know, guys that you kind of saw kind of grow up in the business, so to speak, get jobs and go out on their own and be successful.
Now, I know that you're going to be back to Cincinnati for your series with Xavier, and obviously that's a team you know well from the Crosstown Shootout. But will coming back to Cincinnati, will this game mean a little bit more to you than the Crosstown Shootout did?
I don't think so. You try to keep everything in perspective, and I know that sounds like a coaching cliche and all, but you really do got to try to keep things in perspective because it's a long year. You know, and I've said many times, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And at the end of the year, we want to be playing well, and at the end of the year, we want to have enough wins that, you know, you're not sitting there biting your fingernails all nervous about whether you're going to make the NCAA tournament or not.
I understand that won't be your only coaching return to Cincinnati. You'll be coaching in a UC Xavier alumni game in August. Is that correct?
That's what I'm being told, yeah.
You got wrangled into this one, huh?
I enjoy being around the guys, so it'll be fun.
On top of that, you've been still very popular here in the Cincinnati area. One of the things I got to ask you is, as I'm getting older, I'm finding it harder and harder to connect to high school kids and the fads that are going around. Do you ever run into that? Do you ever feel like there's a generation gap or that some of the technology, for example, texting is becoming so huge? I mean, do you ever find it hard to keep up with the kids and their trends?
The technology is very difficult for me, but I haven't really, at least to my knowledge, I haven't had much of a problem relating. I think, I think it's easy for me because we're both interested in the same thing. We're both interested in basketball and, you know, the kids that we recruit and getting an education and, you know, helping them develop into the best players they can be.
Now, you talked about how the media perception of your program at UC was kind of different from the way things were. I mean, how can you control that at Kansas State?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. We probably didn't do a very good job because, you know, it's – and I guess the best example of that was Nick Van Exel going over to the hospital, which he went over every week, and he used to come in and ask for game programs or – like little giveaway things that they had at games, and he'd take them over and he'd autograph them and he'd give them to those kids. And he was over there every weekend, and somebody at the hospital thought it'd be a great idea to, you know, kind of have the media there to see Mick doing it. Well, he poked his head in the door, he saw the media, and he left. So naturally they called me. They weren't very happy the media was there and he wasn't there. And so I called him in and kind of, you know, read him the riot act, and he, as he does, he just kind of sat there and looked at me, and he said, "Are you done?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I guess I am. What do you got to say for yourself?" And he goes, "Hugs, that's not why I do it. I don't do it to be on TV. I don't do it to get my name in a paper. I do it because I wanted to help those kids and share with those kids." And, you know, if that was me laying there, I wouldn't want to be on TV. I just wouldn't want people to see me that way. And I think it's wrong, and that's not why I do it. And if, you know, I need to be on TV to do it, then I really don't want to do it.
You know, and
I thought long and hard about that, you know, and I think, you know, those who get involved in charity work and charitable work really shouldn't do it to, you know, get their picture in the paper or be on TV. And, you know, the one thing that I can never be accused of, even from my detractors, I'm not one of those guys who showed up, got my picture taken, and left, you know, like some of the people there in town do. And we did a lot of things. We did a lot of great things. Kenyon did a lot of great things in the city. Corey Blunt's done a lot of great things. Mel Levitt is continuing to do great things in the city, but they don't do it to be on TV. They don't do it for notoriety. They do it because it's the right thing to do.
And, you know, with those comments from the media, people like that, we saw Ken Griffey Jr. actually come out last week and just blast some of his critics in the media for things that they said. How do you deal with negative stories and negative comments made about you in the press?
I try not to pay attention to them. You know, I haven't actually read the newspaper in a long time, or I hate to tell you this, I don't listen to talk radio, and I very rarely watch the news, so I just don't. I've kind of learned to kind of shut myself off from it, but you know, it's a hard thing to do.
And that's probably the best advice that we could give, you know, people like you, because sports fans are so fickle. But do you have any problems when you're going to recruits and, you know, they've heard all these outlandish stories that might not be true or things like that?
No, unfortunately, sometimes they've heard these outlandish stories from guys in, you know, in my profession, and that's a little disconcerting. But, you know, I've always felt like, and I tell kids right up front, you know, if we say something about another program, don't come here, because that means we don't have anything to sell you. We don't have anything good to tell you about. If we can't talk about our own program and the merits of our program and the good we can do for you, then you should go somewhere else.
Now, you have kind of at times been associated, your name's been associated with the NBA. Will we ever see you coaching either as a head or assistant coach in the NBA, or do you think this might be your final stop?
No, I think this is it. I think this is going to be my final stop. We're going to try to get it done here. I'd like to win a national championship for the great people here at Kansas State, and then take it to the house.
All right, Bob Huggins, want to say thank you very much, Coach, for all the years you put in here. You brought a lot of wins and a lot of pride to our university, and you're obviously still very much loved here, and we're looking forward to having you back anytime we can.
Well, I appreciate it. I look forward to coming back, and, you know, absolutely wonderful people. I've said it many, many times, and without being redundant, and people in Cincinnati are absolutely wonderful people, and I love the people there.
Coach, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you.